Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome to our fall pledge drive.
Join the family.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, November 7th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning as we kick off our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive. Relevant Radio truly is a spiritual family made of each and every one of you who is listening here this morning, you early birds. And this week, we're going to be asking you to support the mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media. That's what we do here at Relevant Radio. Last pledge drive during the summer in August, our Relevant Radio family, was absolutely amazing. You supported our mission in a big-time way. We need your help once again, now more than ever before, just to keep going for the next 3 months. The co-patron of Relevant Radio, St. John Paul II, once said, "It is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others." And so we begin each hour here during the pledge drive, always in prayer with the Memorare, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us not only with our pledge drive, but also for an end to abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, happy pledge drive the day before the midterm elections. What are some of the big stories in the news this morning?
Well, a lot going on this week, not only at Relevant Radio with the pledge drive, but across the country and the effects around the world of the U.S. midterm election coming up tomorrow. And many, many folks, tens of millions, said to have voted early already, but the big day coming up tomorrow. Republicans hoping for a red wave, Democrats hoping to keep the damage to a minimum or maybe prove the polls wrong.
And more important than anything, if you haven't done so already, make sure you go and vote, as already 40 million people have reportedly voted already in the early voting, Glenn.
Yeah, that's a really large number, and that's a change over the last few voting cycles, with more and more folks voting early each and every time. And so all the messaging you're seeing is, you know, not mattering to some who've already placed that vote, but lots of anti-abortion message, lots of pro-abortion messages out there, especially on the Democratic side. And that's one thing we got to pray about when we head to the polls.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of large numbers, what about the Powerball? 1.9 billion tonight, the largest of all time.
How convenient, with the Relevant Radio pledge drive going on at the same time.
Absolutely.
Whoever wins, just knock us just a little bit of the tax, a little Relevant Radio tax, knock a little bit just our way.
Can you imagine what you could do with that kind of money? Well, it's always fun to chat about it. Who knows? Maybe nobody wins again tonight. You never know.
Well, all I know is that my husband made sure that he did not text his employer to say he wasn't coming into work because he didn't win. So he's still got to go. He's still coming in.
Okay. All right. We continue here with day one of our Join the Family pledge drive. As always, thanks, Glenn and Sarah. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, also on Facebook, our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. If you want to be part of the program this morning, our number is 888-914-9149. Now, as you know by now, tomorrow, November 8th, millions of Americans will head to the ballot box to cast their votes in the midterms for national and state elections. In fact, reported 40 million have already taken part in this early voting. As Catholics, with such a pivotal responsibility and a unique worldview, who should we vote for? How can we be consistently pro-life at the ballot box? This is what we are dealing with, folks. Listen to part of an absolutely disgusting recording from NPR reaching over 26 million listeners who heard the sounds of a woman's abortion. Now, keep in mind, we could only air a very small portion of it. The rest of it was so horrific, it even compared an abortion to childbirth.
Yeah. This next patient is not one of the patients you heard before. She's asked that we not use her name. She's from Michigan. She already has one kid. She's having her abortion at about 11 weeks. Nearly all abortions in Michigan are before 13 weeks. And like many patients at Northland, she said I could record her procedure. We're going to hear some of that now.
Joining us live for much more reaction from Washington, D.C. is Morning Air contributor Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action, to talk about the importance of voting pro-life in these midterms. Kristen is a Catholic Christian, a wife, a mother, a grassroots activist, author, speaker, and a human rights advocate who's coordinated a national team that serves over 1,300 Students for Life chapters in all 50 states and has trained well over 150,000 young people. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again. You are our leadoff hitter here on this pledge drive.
Well, I'm honored. Thanks, John, for having me.
Kristen, first of all, what is your reaction to this shocking audio? And we only heard a little bit of it. I'm sure you've heard the rest from NPR. That was heard potentially by, yeah, you know, millions and millions of people across our country.
It's absolutely disgusting, and I think it shows you, John, just how far removed the pro-abortion lobby, NPR, their allies in the mainstream media are, because I would bet every dollar I ever earn that majority of people were disgusted by that. Or people said, I don't want to listen to this. I'm turning this off, regardless of how, you know, what their political labels are or how they say they feel about abortion. People don't want to hear, they don't want to see what happens in abortion, because the majority of Americans knows what happens in abortion is violence. It ends the life of a human being. And that audio just further confirms it. In fact, it further shows the coercion that happens inside of the abortion facility when the patient starts to tell the abortionist she can't do this anymore, she doesn't want to do it, and the abortionist says, you can do it, you got this, and just keeps committing the abortion anyway.
It really is shocking. I mean, no, this is something that you wrote about on Fox News with your perspective of just how terrible the procedure is and how NPR is so out of touch that they could even do this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that they would just so callously think that airing this audio, I mean, this has been part of their quest to normalize abortion. I'm sitting right now watching TV, the morning news, and it's commercial after commercial, Democrat candidates attacking Republicans for wanting to, quote, unquote, ban abortion. I was just watching this one commercial where they said, this person calls abortion murder. And I told my husband, I said, wow, Planned Parenthood probably really hates that ad, because they just, in attacking pro-lifers and attacking these Republican candidates in Pennsylvania, what they're doing is proving our point. And they're reiterating that point over and over again. Abortion is murder. Abortion is murder.
Kristen, would you say that this is a classic example of why our Relevant Radio listeners need to support the pro-life platform of Relevant Radio that promotes the culture of life day in and day out?
Absolutely. I mean, nowhere else are you going to hear the truth about what's happening in Washington, D.C., state capitals, in our culture than at Relevant Radio.
Well, Kristen, we need to take a short break here as we start off our pledge drive. We're going to continue our discussion with Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action, as we're talking about voting pro-life and what's at stake in the midterm. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after a word from Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning as we continue our conversation with Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America. Kristen, there's a lot at stake in these midterms. Can you talk about what's at stake and how important the abortion issue has been so far?
Everything's at stake with the progress and the momentum we have in the pro-life movement. You know, since the reversal of Roe, President Biden and those in Democratic leadership have pledged to the American people that the first bill that they will bring to his desk to sign, if the Democrats prevail in this midterm election, you know, keeping their majorities in the House and the Senate, would be a bill called the Women's Health, quote unquote, Empowerment Act. This bill, they say, codifies Roe, but in fact, John, it goes further than Roe, and it would force every taxpayer in America, regardless of your personal beliefs about abortion, to fund abortions in all 9 months for any reason. Abortions would be free all across the nation up until the moment of birth for any reason with this bill. And that is the first bill that President Biden and the Democratic leadership have promised to pass and to sign into law if they prevail tomorrow. And we've also heard other pledges. It goes further than that, of stacking the Supreme Court, of adding new justices to the Supreme Court who are pro-abortion, to reverse the tremendous progress we've seen across our nation. It is all on the line tomorrow.
Kristen, it's shocking the amount of money that the Democrats have spent to promote abortion. Reports anywhere from $320 million to up to $400 million to promote, really, at the end of the day, it's killing babies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, they really don't have anything else to run on at this moment. I was watching a debate with a Catholic Congressman Tim Ryan, who's pro-abortion, and J.D. Vance in Ohio for the Senate seat just last month. And his entire message to voters in Ohio about why voters in Ohio need to vote for him was because he was going to protect a woman's right to abortion and January 6th. And I wrote an article about it in Daily Wire because it was so outraging to think about all of the things that American families are struggling with right now. The fact that, you know, I thought it was lucky that we found a turkey that we wanted for Thanksgiving. Inflation, when you go to the gas pump, you can see that the people before us getting gas are putting $5, $10 of gas in their vehicles because they can't afford gas. The 10% inflation we're feeling at the grocery store, all of these issues, the geopolitical issues, the fact that President Biden says we're closer than ever than to nuclear war, and the Democrats' entire argument about why they should be reelected to lead Congress is abortion. It's absolutely sickening, and it's so frustrating. I just had my good friend Brian Birch from Catholic Vote on my podcast the other week to talk about this, and these Catholic leaders who run for office as Democrat and are speaking out against the church's own teachings on abortion. It's unbelievable.
That's why it's so important to be well-informed, to be properly formed with a properly formed conscience. Kristen, can you talk about why, for us Catholics, it's so important that we vote pro-life in accordance with what our church really teaches?
That's absolutely right. I mean, that's why you have to know the catechism. And that's why, I mean, like you said, this is why Relevant Radio is just so important. Because in order to be faithful Christians, in order to be faithful to our church, we've got to know what the catechism says about these moral issues, these crucial issues like abortion, that, you know, this isn't just a I hate when people say to me, well, this is a political issue. Why do you care so much about this political issue? Abortion is not a political issue. Abortion is a moral issue that literally will spell the life or death and determine the life or death of innocent children. This is an issue that we should all care about. And, you know, like these Democrat ads say, it's murder. It's the intentional choosing to end the life of another human being because they inconvenience you or because of the circumstance of their conception. Doesn't matter that it's a human being, another human being that's created in God's image. It's that you get to choose, the stronger gets to choose over the weak. And that's absolutely wrong.
Christian, I know you have traveled to many major universities around our country. You've seen the young people. Why is it so important for our young listeners to vote pro-life when they vote for the first time?
Well, because, I mean, when you think about how you're going to trust a political candidate, and you're thinking about, you know, how are you going to know if this is somebody who deserves my vote? You need to think about abortion, because if you can't trust a candidate to stand up on this issue, if you can't trust a candidate to know who the most vulnerable are, if you can't trust a candidate to stand up maybe against their own party on something that they're extremely wrong about, then you can't trust them on any other issue.
The Dobbs decision, of course, really just started this battle for abortion at the state level. Can you talk a little bit about how our decision, our vote, is going to make it either easier or more difficult for the pro-life movement to continue to promote the culture of life?
Yes, the vote tomorrow will determine whether or not we can move forward in the progress that we've made in the pro-life movement since the reversal of Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision. Because if Democrats win, they have promised to go back. They have a regressive view for our nation. Not only regressive in the sense that they feel that women aren't strong enough to choose both themselves and their future and their children, but regressive in the sense that they want to go back to the days when our law said that certain human beings should be extinguished, should be killed, their hearts should stop beating simply because they're inconvenient to a stronger other person. And that's what they promised with this Women's Health Empowerment Act that President Biden, someone who, you know, says that he's a faithful Catholic, has promised to make his priority. The first bill that they would sign into law in January, he would sign into law. Wouldn't it be something to help with inflation or something to, you know, lessen the chances of nuclear war? It would be to ensure that every taxpayer in America would pay for abortion, so abortions throughout the land are free up until the moment of birth for any reason, something which 8 out of 10 Americans disagree with.
Kristen, we're a day away. What is your gut feeling from what you've seen on the ground? Do you think the people that promote the culture of life are really ready to make a statement tomorrow?
I think they are, and I think we've seen this in the polling in the past few weeks. You know, with more candidates, Republican candidates, being unafraid. You know, in the summer we had a lot of Republicans who, sadly, were just unafraid to defend their pro-life beliefs. And that was absolutely the wrong thing, because you can't run from the abortion bully. Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobby is a bully. You have to stand, state your opinion, and you need to make your opponent state their case. And that message finally got through this fall. And once we started seeing that message get through, once you started seeing Democrats have to go on the defensive about their extremist positions that are out of touch with 9 out of 10 Americans, we started seeing polls shift. And I think what we're going to see tomorrow is a pro-life, quote-unquote, red wave across our country.
Well, Kristen, I so much appreciate your clarity with charity on this issue of life. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, and great luck with the pledge drive. I can't wait to work with Relevant Radio in the coming weeks and months.
Thanks so much, Kristen. Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Brian Burst, the president and founder of Catholic Vote, will join us to discuss how we can truly be Catholic voters in tomorrow's midterm. Stay with us. There's more to come.
by you.
By you.
Listener supported.
Welcome back to our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air as we continue with day one of our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. It's great to be with you here on this Monday morning as we kick things off. Remember, we set the tone for the entire network. We set the tone for the week. So we want to have a really strong start here on this Monday. Relevant Radio family, why do you listen to Relevant Radio? Has Relevant Radio impacted your life? We'd love to hear from you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, as we've been talking about for weeks and months, the midterm elections have never been more crucial. Is democracy on the ballot, as some people are claiming? If you haven't voted already, are you prepared to vote? Are you plugged into the issues that matter most? And do you know what your local and state candidates are supporting? And how can we vote tomorrow in the midterms from a truly authentic Catholic perspective? Joining us live this morning is Brian Birch, the president and founder of Catholic Vote, to discuss voting Catholic as we approach the midterms tomorrow. Good morning, Brian. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us first thing this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, good morning. I love that intro, voting Catholic. That's exactly what we're all about, and glad to be with you.
Well, Brian, this is what you do, and we so much appreciate the great work that you are doing at Catholic Vote. First of all, why do you think it's more important than ever that our listeners, our Relevant Radio family, continues to support this platform that promotes voting from an authentic Catholic perspective, that promotes life, that promotes the family?
Well, that's a great question. I suppose coming from my perspective, who's working in the church to see that Catholics best understand their faith and how to apply the faith when it comes to public life, I would simply ask the question, do you think we're hearing too much of this out there? Do you think too many priests or bishops are preaching too much from the pulpit about these sorts of questions? And do you think our church is adequately catechizing young people, old people, middle-aged people on the truths of our faith when it comes to bringing these into public life and bringing these into the voting booth? And if not, we need as many voices as possible leading and telling the truth about the good news of the gospel when it comes to what it means to be a Catholic and an American. And so I think if you're hopeful that that message can continue, a Relevant Radio is at the top of that list of one of those voices doing just that.
Well, I so much appreciate your support and what you bring to Relevant Radio every time you come on with us, Brian. I want to get your take. Where do you think we are here, less than 24 hours away from the big day? Where are we as a nation as we anticipate tomorrow's elections?
Well, it's no secret we're a divided country. We are split on many things. A lot of people suggest that we no longer disagree about ends. Disagree about means, we disagree about ends. And I think that's very true. This election is not just about tinkering with around the edges with various policies. The questions at stake in this election, and frankly, the questions at stake in many of our elections right now go to the heart of what we believe it means to be an American, what this country was founded to do and the freedoms it was founded to protect. And a lot of those questions are going to be impacted by what happens tomorrow. It looks as if right now Republicans are poised to take back control of the House of Representatives. The Senate, on the other hand, is a true virtual toss-up. There are about five or six races that are likely to determine that question in the Senate, and those races are all this morning within the margin of error. And so every single voter is going to matter, and especially in these states and in every state, because you're going to have races not just for House and Senate, but for governor, for state legislatures, and certainly school boards, et cetera, which we've certainly grown to realize how important those races are as well.
Brian, this past weekend, we've been hearing a lot of rhetoric that democracy is on the ballot, that democracy may not survive. How crazy is this?
Well, it seems like it's grown more and more as the Democrats have become more desperate. And the polling, it shows that voters really are ignoring it. I don't believe that the majority of the country sees democracy itself on the verge of collapsing. I think what they see is a country, again, deeply divided over fundamental questions, and at least one party blaming the other for disagreeing with them and accusing them of being against democracy. Of course, there were serious questions about the integrity of the 2020 election. There were people that behaved in a terrible way in terms of trying to remedy that problem. But we have a democracy that is still working. It's been bolstered. There is a record number of votes already been cast. I saw in Georgia, by the way, this morning, the largest number of early votes in Georgia history. This was a state, of course, that lost the All-Star game because they were supposedly taking away the rights of voters. We're having record numbers of voters in that very state. And so I think our democracy is strong, but the people in that democracy are divided over what direction the country ought to go. And that's what the source of, I think, this complaint is all about.
Brian, can you talk about the importance of the Catholic vote in these midterms and also why we need to vote Catholic first in the way that we vote?
Absolutely. The Catholic vote is 25 to 30% of the electorate in a lot of these places. Mass attending Catholics make up a portion of that. And those voters, especially in a midterm, when usually voter participation is lower than, say, a presidential year, that's a millions and millions and millions of votes. And when we're talking about some of these races that are essentially toss-ups that could come down to less than 1%, as happened in 2020 that decided that election, every single voter is going to matter, not just Catholic voters, but when the Catholics make up such a large percentage. Secondly, we have an obligation and an understanding as Catholics that I think ought to get us to take this responsibility even more seriously. This is not just, again, kind of a hobby we do every 2 years as Americans. This is a sacred and moral obligation that we have to engage in the public life of this country and to protect the foundations of this country so that we can live and believe and act as Catholics in the way that we know is true and just. And so as Catholics, we really do have to take this responsibility seriously. And in my mind, if you are a practicing faithful Catholic, we should have a 100% participation among Catholics when it comes to voting.
Well, we want to continue to talk about what it means to vote in a truly authentic Catholic way as we continue our conversation on voting Catholic in tomorrow's midterm elections with Brian Burst, the president and founder of Catholic Vote. If you want to chime in, if you have a question or a thought, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Brian Burst. Stay with us. There's more to come on Morning Air after this Relevant Radio Miracle Moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio Miracle Moment.
My father died on December 11th, 2021, and he was on his deathbed and at 3 p.m., and the priest came in and did the Divine Mercy Chaplet along with the Litany of Saints, and he passed away peacefully. And after that, for the next month or longer, he gave us many, many beautiful signs that he was in heaven with Jesus. He was a hard man, and I became a total believer. I listen to you every day with the chaplet.
Thank you.
And if I can't hear the live radio, I listen to the prayers. I do the rosary every night. I'm a total changed person because of that prayer and what it did to my dad.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
It's game day. It's Join the Family, day one of our fall pledge drive. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in as we continue our conversation with Brian Burch, the president and founder of Catholic Vote. Brian, can you talk to us about how we can vote in a truly Catholic manner for tomorrow's elections?
Sure. Well, of course, we could do a whole segment on this. So I'll try to be as quick and brief as possible. You know, the church gives us this wonderful vision of what it means to be human and of human dignity and the beauty of every human life. And so, of course, for the church, the issue of life is foundational. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops explains that this issue is preeminent because of the justice involved in the taking of an innocent life, because of the place of the child in the family, and because of the way in which the life issue impacts every other issue. When we divide mother against child and child against family and child against the community, we essentially create a huge, a lot of chaos and hostility in a construct that should be about love. And so the church is very, very clear. The life issue must be paramount. And I think from a political perspective, that issue is also a very important litmus test for a lot of other things. And that includes other foundational teachings that the church guides us on. I would argue this election in many ways, whether it be the life issue or schools or education or marriage, that the right of parents as the foundational and primary educators of their children is one of the principal issues in this election. It's no secret. One of the divisions we have in our country right now, and it's getting worse, is this the division over the role of parents and the authority of parents to decide what's best for their children, to raise them in the faith, and really as a not just a kind of practical question, but as a real deeper philosophical and sociological question about the idea of parenting itself. That in many cases, there's many on the left that now believe that man and woman in marriage and the idea of the family is this kind of social construct that we made up and that it has become a source of what they call the patriarchy and a source of oppression and sexism, and the list goes on. And so they've gone after the family. They're attempting to use politics and use political wedges to undercut the authority of parents. And we're seeing this across the board in schools. We're seeing it when it comes to some of the abortion laws being proposed that would remove the right of parents to know if their underage child was having an abortion. We're seeing it in the construct of the gender war, where many laws are being proposed that would allow school counselors to talk to our children about their gender, even changing their gender, even receiving medical care to alter their gender without parents' knowledge. And so to me, those issues remain paramount, and we need to look to the church first.
St. John Paul II said the future of humanity passes by way of the family, and I think the role of parents, as you just pointed out, is more important than ever for the family to survive in our country.
Well, that's absolutely right. You think about it. If we take away this foundational role of the family in society, what replaces it? What are we going to swap it out with? And conduct an experiment that is essentially unprecedented in the history of the world. This is the challenge, I think, to the other side, is that if in fact what you say is true, that the family is this big problem, what new order are you attempting to replace it with? And I think if we really think deeply about what they're proposing, it's actually a very scary proposition. And a world in a country like ours, with the family breaking down, I think we see where that leads. And it leads to a lot of social problems, anxiety, depression, suicide. It certainly leads to crime. It leads to all sorts of poverty and all the different ways in which, if you correlate the role of families, of intact families, to the success of children, it's very obvious. It's not just a Catholic thing. It's not just a theology thing. It's the right thing, and it's rooted in science. It's rooted in the truth about what we are, and the family must be protected with maximum determination.
Brian, in the final moments that we have, can you talk about how our decisions and the way that we vote will impact the future of our nation? It's going to make a difference.
Well, you know, I've been thinking as we head towards this election day, we're really, I think, at a unique moment and a really extraordinary moment. We have the chance here with this election, and then certainly as we head towards 2024, both with now I would argue, a majority pro-life, majority on the Supreme Court, and a movement among working class people, certainly among Hispanics and others, of a renewal of this country. And I think we need to grasp that and take it, seize this moment that we have to do something really special that, you know, even 10 years ago, a lot of us thought was not possible. People are waking up. They're realizing that we've gone off the tracks as a country and it's time to turn the ship around. And I'm very optimistic when I see my fellow Americans out there fighting, not giving up, and certainly with Catholics as well, praying, working every day. All those that have sacrificed so much for the pro-life movement, for example, the fruits of their work are really on the ballot as well. One side wants to reverse what we achieved, and I think we need to double down and go forward.
Well, Brian, I so much appreciate your perspective, the fantastic work that you're doing at CatholicVote.org. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us to encourage our listeners on the importance of voting authentically Catholic. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you so much. Don't forget to vote, and God bless you all.
God bless you, too. Brian Burch, the president and founder of Catholic Vote. And now it is time once again for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
You know, giving to Relevant Radio can leave a great legacy. Talk about things like that on today's Story Corner. Our story today called The Tracks We Leave by Joseph Mazzella. When I was a boy, I used to love walking in the woods around my home. My mom warned me several times never to travel so far that I'd lose sight of the house, though. Being a typical boy, however, I soon found myself hiking further and further away, testing just how far I could go into the woods without getting lost. After losing my way once for 2 hours, though, I decided I better leave a trail the next time I went for a walk. The very next day, I decided to try it. I walked into the woods until the house was out of sight. Then I broke a small branch in a young tree to mark my place. I wandered further in and broke another limb, then another. In a few spots where there were no limbs small enough, I snapped the heads off daisies and Queen Anne's lace that were growing where the sunlight broke through the trees. After a while, I finally got tired and decided to head back. Turning around, I easily found my tracks, but instead of being proud, I felt sad. I could see the trail of destruction that I'd left in the woods going on and on. Looking at the broken limbs and dead flowers, I wondered if God was disappointed in me, and I vowed never to do that again. Instead, I started to cherish my times alone in the woods with God. I'd sit by the streams and listen to them sing. I'd watch the birds and squirrels. I'd bend down to smell the flowers. I even buried an acorn or two, hoping one day an oak might grow. There's an old Native American saying that goes, "We will be known forever by the tracks we leave." As I've grown older and wiser, I've done my best to never leave a trail of destruction in my life as I did in the woods that day. I have instead strived to leave tracks of love, kindness, goodness, and compassion. Strive to show others that they can do the same. May you always leave tracks of joy as you follow your own trail of love to God. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven."